The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Money.com and also AARP Bulletin. From Money.com, home buyers and sellers alike are loving this popular trick to lower mortgage rates. When Derek and Keegan Smith applied for their mortgage in September, they were quoted a 7% interest rate. By the time they closed on their Minnesota home last month, their rate was down to 5.75%, reducing their monthly payment by more than $400. How did they do it? It was simple, really. They asked the seller for help. We actually negotiated with the sellers to do a $9,000 rate buy down, Keegan says. It might sound hard to believe, given the red-hot seller's market we saw just months ago, but buy-downs are real and surprisingly common. The buy-down is extremely popular right now, says Andrew Russell, owner of RCG Mortgage in New York. They went from non-existent to becoming more and more prevalent. A 7% plus mortgage rates eat into affordability, and they are pushing buyers out of the market. Sellers are having to negotiate more. Often that includes throwing in cash to reduce the buyer's interest rate, either temporarily or for the entire loan term. To be clear, it's not just sellers who can chip in for buy-downs. Buyers have long used this strategy, typically called buying points, to lower their own interest rates. Sellers, builders, lenders, and even real estate agents can contribute towards buy-downs as well. While there aren't official numbers on this practice, anecdotally, agents and mortgage professionals say that they're seeing third-party funded buy-downs in anywhere from 10% to 50% of their deals. How does this strategy actually work, though? And what can you do to get one on your new mortgage? What are the types of mortgage rate buy-downs? Permanent rate buy-downs. Mortgage rate buy-downs are essentially a compromise with your lender. Rather than profiting off a high interest rate for many years, the lender instead gets an upfront payment. Think of it like prepaid interest. Most lenders are compensated through some combination of fees they charge to a borrower and the back-end premium they make on the interest rate, says Jeremiah Taylor, Vice President of Real Estate and Mortgage at OJO Labs in Austin, Texas. When a borrower pays more of the lender's compensation out of pocket, it allows the lender to sell the borrower a lower rate. Rate buy-downs can be temporary, lasting just a few years, or permanent, as in the Smith's case. With the latter, you get a reduced rate and monthly payment for your entire loan term or until you sell or refinance. In the mortgage world, permanent buy-downs are most often called buying points. You or another party will pay an upfront fee to reduce your interest rate incrementally, typically between 0.125 and 0.50 percentage points. The exact price for this varies, but it usually is anywhere from 0.375% to 1% of the total loan balance. The cost of a rate buy-down is not one-size-fits-all, says Scott Haymore, head of mortgage pricing and secondary markets at TD Bank. It varies from originator to originator, and it's also driven by product selection, market factors, and end investor guidelines. From a cash flow standpoint, permanent buy downs can be helpful. They can also make it easier to qualify for a loan or even expand your budget, according to Al Murad, Executive Vice President of AmeriSave Mortgage Corp. With the rise in interest rates over the past several months, rate buy-downs have become an increasingly popular way for buyers to regain buying power, Murad says. Here's an example. If you knew you could spend $1,500 per month and were quoted a 7% rate, that puts you at a maximum purchase price of $225,000. If you were able to get your rate down to 6.25%, though, it would increase your budget by nearly $20,000. Temporary rate buy-downs. There are also temporary rate buy-downs, which give buyers a lower rate for the first few years of the loan, and then revert to the original quoted rate. With this approach, the seller contributes a lump sum at closing, which is put in the buyer's escrow account. Those funds are used to cover a portion of the buyer's mortgage payments for up to 3 years. The lender is still charging the same rate, says Jeremy Drobeck, senior loan originator at AmeriFirst Home Mortgage in Michigan. It's just coming from a different source. Part of it's being paid by the seller, and part of it by the buyer. There are many versions of temporary buy-downs. Right now, pros say the 2/1 buy-down is most prevalent. The 2/1 buy-down allows the consumer to have a rate 2% lower the first year of the loan and a 1% less for the second year, says David Holsterman, regional manager at Citywide Home Loans in Greenwood Village, Colorado. Once the loan hits the third year, and for every year beyond, the borrower will pay the original rate and payment they were quoted for. The last part is critical because on temporary buy-downs, you'll need to qualify for your loan based on that final rate and payment, not the reduced one. It's important that you can comfortably afford the higher rate, as the lower rate is for a short period of time, says Jennifer Beeston, Senior Vice President of Mortgage Lending at Guaranteed Rate Mortgage. I'd look at a permanent buy-down as the first option. Make sure you're working with a lender who digs into the math on both options with you so that you can make an informed decision. How to use a mortgage rate buy-down successfully. So you want a lower mortgage rate? How exactly do you get the seller or another party to foot the bill? First, talk to your lender. Depending on the type of loan you're using, there may be rules as to who can pay for a buy-down and how much they can contribute. The key is to work with your mortgage lender up front, Taylor says. Every loan program is going to have some sort of limit. Next, let your real estate agent know you'll need a rate buy-down to deal with today's higher rates. Unless a seller or listing agent explicitly offers one up front, your agent will need to include the proposed seller concession in any offers you submit. Generally, a seller concession is negotiated up front, and the amount is strategically considered based on each individual client and their specific needs, says Trudy Kelly, a senior loan officer at Churchill Mortgage in Portland. I work very closely with the buyer's agent once they find a home. We talk about how much the buyer needs to make the purchase for and how the home is priced for our current market to decide if there is room to ask for a seller credit. Take a recent transaction Kelly worked on. In this case, the seller agreed to a $15,000 buy-down, which reduced the buyer's rate by a full percentage point, and her monthly payment by $341 per month for the entire loan term. Had the buyer simply offered less for the house, it would have meant a $30,000 price cut to achieve those kinds of monthly savings. What's more important, what you pay for the home or what your monthly payment actually is, Kelly asked. everyone won. We've been more aggressive with this tactic over the last few months with noticeable results. I think you'll see it becomes even more prominent as interest rates tick up. And also from Money.com, Biden's student loan forgiveness plan is in limbo as payments are set to resume. The original timeline of President Joe Biden's student loan forgiveness plan is out of the window following two major legal setbacks. Tens of millions of federal student loan borrowers were encouraged to submit their applications for up to $20,000 of loan forgiveness by November the 15th in order to have their debts forgiven by 2023. That deadline passed before millions had the chance to apply. Some 26 million borrowers applied for forgiveness by last week, according to Biden administration officials. However, the application portal closed Friday after a federal judge in Texas issued an injunction which halts the forgiveness program as the court case plays out. The Biden administration quickly appealed the decision, but on Monday, a separate federal appeals court dealt another blow by issuing a similar injunction. The injunction will remain in effect until further order of this court or the Supreme Court of the United States, the federal appeals judge said in their ruling. These legal developments leave Biden's marquee student debt relief initiative in limbo. One-time forgiveness of up to $20,000 per borrower was a key part of the president's plans to make sweeping changes to federal student loan programs before loan payments are set to resume on January the 1st, 2023. Monthly federal loan payments have been paused since March of 2020. In the meantime, the Biden administration has canceled more than $38 billion of student loan debt through targeted relief programs. The broad one-time forgiveness plan is seen as the cherry on top. If the administration's loan forgiveness program is successful, as many as 20 million borrowers could have their entire balances wiped out. It's not yet clear if the broad loan forgiveness plan will survive the challenges in court. At the very least, the planned student loan forgiveness timeline is upended, and the Biden administration is reportedly in the early stages of considering another extension to the loan payment pause to allow borrowers more time to react and prepare accordingly. What's next for student loan forgiveness? For the borrowers who have already applied for broad student loan forgiveness, the Education Department has said it will keep their information on hand, but the department cannot forgive anyone's debt through this program unless the Biden administration triumphs in court. In other words, it's a waiting game. Borrowers should sit tight and subscribe to student loan forgiveness alerts directly from the Education Department to stay updated as the Biden administration defends its program in court. At some point, the matter is expected to reach the Supreme Court. We are confident in our legal authority for the student debt relief program and believe it is necessary to help borrowers most in need as they recover from the pandemic, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said in a statement following Monday's ruling. The administration will continue to fight these baseless lawsuits by Republican officials and special interest and will never stop fighting to support working and middle-class Americans. Will there be another student loan payment pause? The 1-2 punch of legal setbacks are expected to delay or possibly even derail the forgiveness program as of January 1 of 2023, as it bears down on millions of borrowers who will have to restart payments. If broad student loan forgiveness is not happening by then, approximately 20 million borrowers who were expecting their student debt balances to be completely wiped out will have to begin making loan payments again. Loan services may also be sent into a scramble as they are faced with the unprecedented task of restarting payments for additional borrowers. In April, the federal government estimated as many as 15 million borrowers may have financial difficulty restarting payments. That number could be much higher if forgiveness does not come through in the near future. To avoid this scenario, the Biden administration is beginning to weigh yet another extension to the student loan payment pause, according to anonymous aides cited by the Washington Post. The extension we're likely to see is meant to make sure borrowers don't have the rug pulled out from under them, rather than an indefinite replacement for loan forgiveness, one person told the Post. Not everyone is on board with this approach. With inflation at a 40-year high and unemployment near historic lows, there is absolutely no justification for extending the student debt pause yet again. Maya McGinnis, president of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, said in a statement on Tuesday, the pause was put in place as an emergency measure early in the pandemic. As the president has repeatedly pointed out, the pandemic recession is long over. When asked to comment on the matter, the Department of Education deferred money's questions to the White House, and the White House did not respond. From AARP Bulletin, how to save with digital coupons. Don't lose out on discounts. Gone are the days when you needed paper coupons to maximize your savings on groceries. Supermarkets, dollar stores, and big box stores are increasingly offering deals only through apps and websites. In fact, digital coupon redemptions now outpace paper coupon redemptions, reports the research firm Inmar Intelligence. Once you figure it out, clipping and redeeming digital coupons is super easy. For many retailers, all that is required is having a loyalty card and registering your number on the store's app or website. Then simply select the deals you want as you scroll through a list on your smartphone, tablet, or computer. The store automatically applies those deals at checkout. Even if you don't have a smartphone or aren't online, you can often get these coupons via workarounds. For example, you can have a friend or a family member download the coupons from a website to your loyalty card. My dad does this for my mom. The discounts she has him select on his computer are applied when she provides her phone number at the register. Also, some stores ask for a smartphone number to send you a sign-up code. If you don't have a smartphone, you can give the number of a friend or family member, then ask that person for the code they've received and use it to complete your registration on the store's website. Here's how to get digital coupons to work for you at major chains that offer them. While these instructions might seem complicated, you'll find that most sites make the sign-up task easy, and that once you use digital coupons a few times, it all becomes second nature. Supermarkets and drugstores. The best place to start with digital couponing usually are the supermarkets and the drugstore chains, for which you already have a loyalty card. Go to the retailer's website or download their app to your smartphone and create a digital account. Next, sign in and link your loyalty card to the account by inputting your loyalty card number or by scanning the card with your phone. With many stores, here's what you do next. Look for the coupons or deals icon on the app or website. Tap or click on it and coupons will pop up. Scroll down the page for deals. Often you can search by categories such as fruits and vegetables or personal care. Then tap or click on the deals you want. You'll often see a plus sign or a scissors icon. The deals should automatically load onto your loyalty card account. To redeem a coupon at checkout, simply scan your loyalty card. If you're doing self-checkout, or have the cashier scan it. the discounts will automatically get applied. If you left your loyalty card at home, the cashier can scan your unique barcode from your phone, since it's usually stored on the store's app. Some stores may also accept the phone number linked to the account. Coupons.com. This site showcases cashback deals, but it's also a clearinghouse for digital coupons for a variety of products. Unlike many other apps and sites, it lets you print these coupons. On the website, click on Printable Coupons on the top left-hand corner of the page. Then click on the blue plus signs for the coupons you want. Before you can print, you'll be asked for a mobile phone number to be sent a verification code. If you have only a landline, submit that number instead. On the next screen, you'll be able to request a call with the code recited to you. Other brands, sites that let you print coupons may also have such a workaround. Dollar stores. On the website of Dollar General or Family Dollar, sign into your account or create one. Then click on DG Digital Coupons on DollarGeneral.com or scroll down the page on FamilyDollar.com. You'll need a mobile phone or landline to sign up. Here's how to use the DG app. On the app's homepage, tap Explore Digital Coupons. Tap All to get a list of those coupons, or filter by product category. Tap Add to Wallet to clip the coupons. To see the coupons you've collected when at the store, go to the app and tap Wallet, then Coupons. Enter your phone number at the register, and the coupons will automatically be applied to your balance. Target. On the Target website, click on Deals at the top left-hand side of the homepage. From the drop-down menu, click Target Circle Offers. You can also find it on the homepage of the Target app. Sign up for the Circle Loyalty Club, which gives you access to perks such as exclusive discounts on groceries. Here's how to download the digital coupons on the app. Tap on the Target Circle Offers, then tap All to see the coupons. Pick one of 12 categories and scroll down to see the current offers. Tap on the plus sign. While you're shopping, tap the wallet icon on the bottom of your screen, then tap Saved Offers for your list of coupons. You can check for additional offers while you shop using the app's barcode scanner. At the register, tap Wallet at the bottom of the screen, then tap the red bar labeled Show My Code. Show that to the cashier, and your coupons will be subtracted from your balance. An article from Money.com, the average monthly payment for a new car just hit an all-time high. The average monthly payment for Americans buying new cars climbed to $748 per month in October, an all-time high. In October, new vehicle transaction prices were actually just below a record high set in August. But when you factor in higher interest rates today, it's never been a more expensive time to purchase a car, according to a report Wednesday from Kelley Blue Book. The average transaction price for new vehicles increased by $187 from September to October, rising to $48,281. The vehicle valuation company reports. That's slightly lower than the record high of $48,301 in August. But new car prices are $1,775 higher than they were a year ago. Monthly payments on new cars averaged $743 per month in August, so just a few dollars less than the new high reached in October. For the sake of comparison, in October of 2021, the average new car payment was $680. A large portion of car buyers are making monthly payments that are far higher than the average. More than 14% of Americans who financed a new vehicle in the third quarter of 2022 committed to monthly payments of $1,000 or more, an increase from just above 8% a year earlier, according to Edmunds. Federal Reserve officials have expressed hope that car price growth will slow down following recent interest rate hikes and as vehicle inventory improves. Higher interest rates make it more expensive to finance a vehicle purchased through an auto loan, which in theory should take some prospective buyers out of the new car market, lowering demand and easing some of the upward pressure on prices. New car prices remain extremely high. The October uptick in new car prices comes with multiple data points showed prices decline from August to September, which was the first time they had dropped in 5 months. That dip may also have offered some hope that prices were finally on a downward trajectory. But for someone waiting for new cars to get cheaper, it's a bad sign that the average price is back to just $20 below the record. Used vehicle prices have been dropping for several months now, with the latest consumer price data showing a 2.4% decline from September to October. The data illustrates the divergence in new versus used car price trends, as new car prices increased by 0.4% in October. Auto loan interest rates increased in October in response to the higher rates from the Fed, Kelley Blue Book reports. The combination of high interest rates and high prices is making it harder for Americans to afford to drive, Jonathan Smoak, chief economist at KBB parent company Cox Automotive, said in the report. Cox tracks vehicles' affordability in partnership with Moody's Analytics based on how many weeks of medium household income it would take to pay for the average new car, including interest. And we have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it and hope you will be sure to listen to us again next time. I'm Larry Wilson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.